The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Huey Lewis plays a henchman to Alan Rickman until the devastating twist at the end. That's not Huey Lewis. Never was.
The movie where Bruce Willis proves without a shadow of a doubt that he is number three on the greatest action hero of all time.
The movie where Bruce Willis and Reginald Vail Johnson's bromance is way stronger than his actual romance to his wife.
This is Die Hard on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the 80s movie podcast that's about 80s movies and counting them down. Highest grossing. Ones that made that money, son.
Highest grossing 80s movies of the 80s. We said 80s a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, sure did. It's very popular right now. Yeah. Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Fucking Ready Player One. Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Introduce yourself.
I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
I'm Mario Tenale.
New guest on the podcast. Welcome to the show, Mario.
Thanks for being here. Thank you. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. So Emma was not available, so we picked just as beautiful person to come on the podcast.
Please.
The flowing locks.
Come on.
Yeah. The most beautiful of all the people that
tell
we know.
Tell me more.
Yes. Please. Go on.
Keep going. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for being here. We're going to talk about one of the truly great movies of all time.
One of the greatest movies, and also one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time.
Sure.
It is Christmas time right now.
Yeah. By the time you're hearing this, it's probably a couple of days before Christmas.
Yeah.
And or it's like 3 years from now, and you're,
And it's funny because this movie shows up on a lot of like past Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Very little fucking mention of Christmas.
I mean, do we want to, like, this has obviously been talked to death on the internet, but I feel like we need to weigh in. Is this a Christmas movie?
It's not really a Christmas movie. Not by any means. I feel like if, there's a Christmas party and all that stuff, but if Die Hard, I'm going to call him Die Hard. If Die Hard had, like used a Christmas tree to kill somebody.
Now you're talking.
Then it's a Christmas movie.
It's a movie. Christmas movie.
Right? Yeah. But he doesn't do that. So it's a movie that happens around Christmas.
Yes.
It's an 80s movie with a Christmas backdrop.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's a Christmas backdrop. But again, when you start talking about Christmas backdrop movies, there's so many.
Also, if this happens in New York, if this movie happens in New York, it's a Christmas movie.
That's true. It is very hard.
Very true.
Yeah. It's in L.A., so there's no Christmas.
Yeah,
there's
like
no 70 snow.
Degrees,
yeah, exactly.
You know. 34th Street and 42nd, there's none of that.
Yeah.
No, exactly. If it happens in New York, though, there's Christmas shit everywhere. There's snow. Yeah. There's there's a Santa.
There's Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in New York. You know what happens in New York.
Yeah.
Mario here lives in New York.
Yeah. I'm back in Arizona for a little bit and came to do this podcast.
For some fucking reason.
I flew in for this podcast.
I
just flew in, at 10 o'clock at night and watched this movie, and I'm flying back in red eye in the morning.
I mean, he owes us a lot.
Exactly. It's what we do, people. Yeah. This is what we do for you guys.
Yes, that's right. We bring in big-time actors from New York.
Please, guys.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So, back in 1988, this movie was released.
That's right.
Pulled in $83 million.
Yeah.
Yeah,
This is so more than the money, because obviously it's a huge hit, right?
Oh yeah,
huge hit.
I mean, not a huge hit, but a big hit,
relatively speaking.
Yeah,
huge hit.
Yeah, pretty big hit.
But more than that, this is one of the most influential movies that we will talk about. This entire podcast.
Yeah,
everything in this movie to this day, I see stuff that I'm like, well, that's Die Hard.
Yeah, gets ripped off all the time. I feel like all of Steven Seagal's movies are just a ripoff of fucking
Die Hard. But not only, like, I mean, for like, there's the obvious ones, the Under Siege and everything that's just obviously like Die Hard in a boat, Die Hard on a train. But even beyond that,
they were just pitching that shit for years.
Just seems like I was thinking about like the Arkham games. I don't know if you've played the Batman Arkham games. But all the stuff where you're like crawling around vents and jumping down on people and like all that stuff, like that's straight, like there's so much of that Die Hard in that. Just all across the board. There's just Die Hard left and right everywhere you see.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we talked about this while we were watching True to '80s. It was like all the it's all foreigners are the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. All foreigners are the bad guys.
We're taking Germans in this one,
obviously.
Which we were surprised not Russians.
Yeah, we were surprised not Russians. But again, Germans have a history of maybe not.
I'm being evil.
Maybe. Yeah. A little bit.
That language is crazy harsh.
It is a harsh language. Although I wonder, like, is it harsh because it's harsh, or is it harsh because, you know, we just think about, you know.
Well,
because
they angrily, like, kind of scream everything.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. They do a lot of, like, I don't know, that's not German in any way.
No. German listeners, we're sorry.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I can say these things. I am of German descent.
Oh, thank God.
So, yeah, it's fine.
All right, cool. We're good then. We're good. We're good. Yeah,
it's fine. It covers everything. I had a German friend once, so it's fine.
So that checks out. It all checks out.
That's all you have to do, right? Has have one friend.
This is also a very testosterone movie.
Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's a part of the legacy of John McTiernan, who made the most testosterone of movies.
Yeah, let's talk about John McTiernan, because this guy, I fucking love this guy, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe it's been so long since he's made a film, but let's just run through a couple here.
All three of the best diehards, the first three diehards.
Does the first three diehards, which are amazing, right?
All of them.
Also, the year before this, does a little movie you may have heard of called Predator.
Predator, okay, we talked about this before. Predator, the most testosterone fucking movie ever
absolutely.
Made.
Yes. And produced two governors, may I add.
Yeah, that's right. You get two governors out of this fucking movie. That's right. Good call on that. And God damn it, there's... And then even like behind the scenes, you hear about like all they did was try to one-up each other with working out. Yeah.
There's a cool story that... that Jesse the Body Ventura...
The Challenge?
Yeah, the Challenge.
The Challenge where... He would go in the gym and he'll see Schwarzenegger and they're working out and he goes, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He'll go in an hour earlier and just wet his shirt with water. And then Schwarzenegger would come in and goes, oh man, we got to go to the gym earlier. He's already here sweating up the storm. It was always competitive.
Continuously trying to one up each other.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's actually, I do believe, at least to me, it has the most testosterone filled shot. Like single shot that I've ever seen.
Apollo Creed.
The grabbing their arms together.
Oh, just muscles. Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
There's zero fat in that fucking shot. Yeah. Oh, God damn it. That they just grabbing two giant muscly arms together. Yeah. And it's also like, it's a group of the most muscly fucking soldiers you could ever find.
Yeah.
Fighting a muscly alien.
Just freaking
out
awesome.
In the fucking woods. And you get one Hispanic chick.
Yeah.
Because it was the 80s.
That's right.
So you get.
It was like in Colombia or
something.
Yeah,
you get Maria Conchita Alonso or the like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's what
but
you
it
get
was
in
a
the
diverse
80s.
Group. You had a couple of black guys. You had the Indian dude.
Yeah, you had the Indian dude.
You know, Schwarzenegger.
Indian, yeah, 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 we've talked a lot about the Indian dude because his sad end.
Died, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, that's the most testosterone.
So yeah, obviously movie. Predator, which we love. And at some point we're going to talk about it. It's not on the list.
But we have to talk about it.
But we have to talk about it because that movie's incredible. But also. Hunt for Red October, the first of the Tom Clancy adaptations.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, Connery and Alec Baldwin. And I mean, you're talking about men fucking.
Again.
Connery and Alec Baldwin.
A bunch of men stuck in a fucking
submarine.
Movies
for guys who like movies.
That's
exactly.
Also does Last Action Hero, which we talked about before we started recording. We both really like, I think, Mario and Maya.
I really enjoyed it.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. It's really funny. And then one of my all-time favorite movies, The 13th Warrior.
13th Warrior one. I thought anyone did it.
It's just fantastic. Yeah. So good. Last film that he did, Basic, super underrated. Good movie.
Oh, which one's Basic?
That's the one with Sam Jackson and John Travolta. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The military kind of like suspense thriller.
Yeah. Right.
Lots of twists and turns. Actually, legit
that's
good movie.
Good.
Yeah.
And he's like not dead.
No.
He just hasn't made a movie since.
Yeah. Well, and I hope it's his choice because Like, if people are not letting him make movies,
he's made some of the best action movies of all fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So,
he's a man's man.
This movie.
That fucking guy.
Yeah, he really is. This movie, 1988, Bruce Willis at this time, he's a TV actor.
Yeah, let's talk about Bruce Willis for a minute. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
He's a fucking moonlighting guy. He's like, tell a few jokes and flirt with Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah, because he was shooting moonlighting at the same time that he was making
this
movie.
That's exactly why all of Die Hard is shot at night, because he was filming during the day.
Get the fuck out. Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
85 to 89, he did that.
Fucking moonlighting.
Yeah.
He's just a charming, funny guy. That's all he was.
But that's a huge, especially back then. Now the divide is a lot less because you have all the prestige shows and you have HBO and everything
else.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But fucking 1988, if you were a TV person, Hollywood looked at you like you were garbage.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And which brings us to my next point. We have to go down the list of the actors that turned down this role.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
So this is great. Let's hit this up.
Okay, first actor who turned down this role, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Which, that would have been a terrible movie. Yeah. I say this as a huge Schwarzenegger fan. I think he is one of the two greatest action heroes of all time.
I agree.
But
totally unrelatable in this script.
Yes, because this script is all about being like the normal guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's like just a New York detective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Schwarzenegger, you don't believe him as an underdog because he's fucking...
bigger than everybody.
Yeah, he's giant.
Again, we talked about this before, and I wanted to finish, but... True Lies.
Oh, True Lies, yeah.
There's that scene in True Lies.
He looks like he could crush your head with his hand.
Where he's spying on her, and she's going to walk by, and he just like turns around and covers his face, and she walks by him. And I'm like, get the fuck out. you telling me that there's other like 6 foot fucking two giant fucking dudes in your office?
Oh, yeah. That's just Jim. He won Mr. Universe. Exactly. No, that's not a thing.
I always love that people yelling at Schwarzenegger. I always feel like they're going to be like, this isn't the fucking Kansas where you came from, all American dude. This is like we're hitting the big leagues here. Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty great. Yeah. So anyways, so that would have been no go, but continue.
The second one is Sylvester Stallone, obviously.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah, solves all the problems in the world.
Yeah,
good old Burt Reynolds is another.
Oh, Reynolds! I could totally see Burt.
I can see Burt Reynolds
role.
In this role. Yeah. Richard Gere.
Oh wow, Richard Gere.
That's a weird one. Has Richard Gere done an
stepping
action
into
movie?
An action role?
Harrison
I don't know.
Ford, another one.
Harrison Ford for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about the movie is that it had been in development because the book was around for like 20 years.
So this
it's been in development in and out for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So people may know this that are listening, but this is. Based off of one novel in a series of detective novels that actually Frank Sinatra did an adaptation of this same character, different name, but same character from the same series of books years before this.
Yeah, it was a detective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was, what'd you say, like 60 or 58 or something like that?
68.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this has been in development for a long time, and so a lot of people were attached. But yes, go on.
Harrison Ford. And Robert De Niro, and the last one that I saw,
Bobby
I don't know
De Niro
this,
in this role.
I don't know
De Niro. Wow, back when he was like really blowing up, maybe.
And Sam Neill.
Wow, really, Sam Neill? No shit.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. Yeah.
Ooh, Sam Neill, like maybe at the very beginning of his fucking.
I guess.
Career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he'd been around for a few years.
Yeah, he had.
Been around
but
for
I
a
mean,
few years. But in like
he didn't blow up to like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this was back when he was doing like weird, like more, I guess. Like not
more,
not indie, but like just
more
like
more obscure,
artsy.
Obscure,
artsy
yeah,
and, yeah. It's the one where like there's that like weird tentacle rape scene. I don't remember the name of that movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Did you dream that?
No, I yeah, I definitely did.
Sam Neill tentacle rape movie?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're talking about In the Mouth of Madness.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a John Carpenter movie.
That's right, it is.
It's a great fucking movie, yeah. Well, so Die Hard is based on Nothing Lasts Forever.
Which
is the book.
The most James Bondy sounding non-James Bond book.
Yeah, for real. Especially in like that in the you're talking about a series of books. That makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Nothing Lasts Forever.
But yeah, there was obviously like there was a run in the 40s, 50s, and 60s of just let me do 20 books about a detective.
Yeah.
Doing detective shit.
Some cool detective shit. Yeah, exactly. So I guess we should talk about the plot.
Yes.
Yeah, so
So we open with the scene of him coming to L.A.
Yeah.
So right away we know that he's an outsider.
He's flying in from L.A.
Flying in to L.A. from New York.
Yeah, so
he has
exactly.
that New York sass.
Well, and he's a Jersey guy, and yeah. he has the Jersey like mannerisms and way of speaking and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit wound up, a little bit like
he smokes, which is cool.
He smokes. He's a wisecracker.
yeah, which is way cool. Smoking is way fun. Cool.
Although we did talk about
he clearly did not smoke because in the movie
it's a very movie smoke.
It's a movie smoke. It's like up to the lips, puff down. Like he very much doesn't know how to fucking smoke.
And it's very much it's a very actorly smoke where there's like that scene when he's talking to Hans Gruber later. Where he like takes the puff and like gives the look and like even starts to do the line and then blows it out to the side. Like it's a very like
deliberate.
Sure.
Cinematic.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But he gets picked up by a limo driver. Turns out to be a really cool fucking dude.
Yeah, great character.
Yeah. And then they take him to this... Nakatomi.
Nakatomi building.
Nakatomi building. Where his ex is.
Well, it's not
soon
his
to
ex.
Be ex.
Oh, not his ex. They're still married.
So the idea is that she got this job opportunity, went to L.A. Because of that, they had a huge fight, and they haven't really been together or on speaking terms or anything.
Good character motivation.
Very good
guy,
character motivation.
Actually.
And you pointed out really great that like they meet up and... initially it's very positive, it's very like, oh, it's so good to see you
again. She's like, oh my god, John, like, you're here.
And then almost immediately
they're
they
in
get
a fucking fight.
Yeah.
If you've ever been in a relationship, listeners, you know that you immediately get in a fucking fight when you've been like, when you're at to that point where you're like separating. No, there's no way. But he meets the cokehead.
He meets
guy.
The weird cokehead guy. He meets the boss, who's super cool Japanese dude.
This is eighties party time.
Yes.
So there's gonna be cocaine.
There's life gonna be cocaine.
Life in excess, as you said earlier, Eric.
Yeah. Well, you walk into the Christmas party. They got a fucking live orchestra playing. Mm-hmm. They got people walking around. They got like a waterfall going in their office.
Caviar, because that was all the fucking rage.
They got people doing coke and everything. Like it's insane. There's the couple that's fucking in the office.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
less about the 80s and more about like
office Christmas parties.
Office Christmas parties.
That's a thing that now is not that big anymore, which is caviar. Back in the 80s, caviar was the top.
Yeah.
That was it. That's how you would portray in a movie. That's how you portray
richness.
Rich. Yeah,
for sure.
Be like, they have caviar.
Yeah.
So they do that. He walks by and he's like, caviar, caviar.
What now would you say is the like go to for this person is rich?
Bars of gold. No. The presidency. You know, I don't know. I mean, nowadays it's so fucking crazy. Like these people live the way that like dreams. When you talk about like the top people.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
They're just like the Get Out. They're just like putting their consciousness into younger people.
Like robot bodies or whatever. Sure.
Exactly.
I guess private jets, maybe. Private planes. That's pretty... But
private jets have been around for a long time.
Yeah. That's kind of a go-to for
it. You know what it is? I feel like, all right, the tippy top, I feel, is I'm going to eat a taco that is worth $200,000.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
If they have a scene where it's like, I think actually it's 30 Rock where Alec Baldwin goes to a place that for their dessert is like a $10,000 thing made with like real gold.
Yeah, with gold leaf and shit that you can actually eat. Yeah, exactly. For sure. That's the thing, because I see that shit all the time. They're like, oh, eat this dessert. It's worth $10,000 for this one dessert because they put gold leaf and truffle and shit in it.
Yeah.
There's actually these cookies in New York that have these gold leaf. They're like $600
per cookie.
Per cookie, yeah, something like
what
that.
What the fuck,
the
man?
Rich eat. Yeah, yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
Oh god, you don't have to eat gold, rich people.
Yeah, first of all, don't eat gold. That cannot be good for you.
You don't have to eat gold.
Like, I'm not a doctor, but I cannot. That's not good for you. That is not.
You're
a
just
thing you want
to
put in
your
body. You
just do that to feel better than everybody else. That would be funny if like there was a big thing that turns out that you get like really, really,
really sick off
gold poisoning and
it's like
kills
mercury,
a bunch of kills a ton of rich people.
Because that was a thing back in the day. Doctors would prescribe mercury. Turns out that kills you.
Yeah. take like 2 cc's of mercury. For the love of God, no more than that. Because you will go insane and then die.
Yeah, it will. It'll drive you completely insane.
Well, you know who got mercury poisoning while filming a movie, right?
Who's that?
It was Sylvester Stallone when he did Rocky III, mercury poisoning.
Oh, for what?
Because his diet consists of water, tuna in a can, and about 16 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because he was just lean fucking protein.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's super fucking ripped in Rocky III.
Yeah, oh, he's actually the Guinness Book of World Records for the person who's actually most shredded in a motion picture.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They gave him a shredded?
How did you decide that?
Lowest body. It was like 2% or
something. Lowest body fat.
He's super shredded in that movie. That's wild. Yeah. That's wild. That there's actually that they keep track of that shit.
That's a fucking a lot of tuna to eat to get fucking mercury poison.
Yeah, mercury poison. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
That's wild. We gotta get you back when we get to the Rocky movies.
Yeah,
I think Mario's the only person that I know that likes Stallone as much as I.
Oh
do.
Yeah.
As much as we both do. Really.
Yeah. Although we did get to a big fight about Sylvester the cat.
Which this motherfucker?
Because I said Sylvester the cat was the best Sylvester that ever lived.
Punch him in the face, boy. Punch him.
I'll
in
leave
the face.
Right now, yeah. And I'll never come
walk
back.
Straight out.
I'll walk straight out of here.
As well, you should, because that's just the most nonsense thing.
Francisco I just love has that fucking said. Cat so much.
There's no. First of all, there's no reason to love that cat. Second of all, even if that cat was the greatest cat that has ever catted, Stallone is still better.
You tell me what cat? What? What problems did that cat solve?
That's a good point.
Did he solve the Cold War?
We talked
about the Cold War. I don't think so.
Did he solve Vietnam?
We will talk about this again. But goddammit, Stallone solved all those problems.
Yes,
he solves the Vietnam like backlash thing in the first Rambo.
Yeah.
Right.
By the time you get to the Rambo 2, we've kind of come to terms with it. Now we can just appreciate how awesome Vietnam vets are.
Yeah, exactly. We get past that point. And then in Rambo 3, he solves the fucking Middle Eastern, Afghanistan. Problems or issues, right? And then, but his greatest contribution to society, obviously, Rocky Four.
Rocky Four, exactly. He's actually responsible for reality TV because a lot of his ex-girlfriends had reality shows. Yeah, Nielsen was in a reality show. That model he dated was in a reality show.
They all had reality shows.
So he's actually responsible for the reality show.
Wow. If you had to fight one of them.
What? One of who?
One of the Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, clearly.
Oh, Bruce Willis. Yeah.
Bruce Willis is like
an hour with
person.
His shirt off. I think
he was a guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is just a guy.
He can't crush your head with his bare hand.
Exactly.
The way that Schwarzenegger can.
Nope. Yeah. Schwarzenegger is a mountain, and Stallone is
like a hill.
Stallone, man.
Yeah, he's a Stallone's very short, right?
Yeah,
he's a very short guy.
Short, but Stallone, I would not want to fuck with that guy.
Yeah. No, he's kind of marvel.
And also, with those Rocky fights and everything, he got punched for real most of those fights.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing an interview with him after they were filming Rocky Balboa, and his face was fucked the shit up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just spent the last week punching a dude and getting punched in the face.
Yeah, fighting an actual
basically
dude.
Just boxing for real. While they filmed it for a week.
They stopped filming Rocky IV because when he got punched by Dolph Lundgren,
He
punched him in the chest so hard he shifted his heart.
Yeah, that's right. He had to go to the hospital. He had to go to the hospital. They thought he might have died. Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren punched him so hard he shifted his fucking heart.
To one different place.
Keep in mind, Dolph Lundgren is also a tank of a man.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And Dolph Lundgren's 6'5", 250 of pure muscle, and has 4 PhDs.
Yeah, he's like a fucking a nuclear physicist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he went to MIT and shit.
Yeah, wow. he is a fucking legitimate up there physicist guy.
He's a very smart guy.
He just sounds like a fucking idiot because he doesn't know how to speak English. He don't speak English that good.
Exactly. Again, our xenophobia. As a nation.
And especially back then, Dolph Lundgren came up in the 80s where it was all about Russian, about the Cold War.
Right.
So
even though he was Sweden, they're like, no, you're a Russian guy.
Yeah, you're you're playing Russian. Yeah.
Well,
we hate you.
When he did Masters of the Universe, this
best
was
movie of all time.
Right after.
God damn it.
This was right after Rocky IV. Stallone actually came down to the set to visit and he talked to the director and he says, Dolph's. You know, he's the lead character, right? He's like, yeah. He goes, yeah, well, you just gave him more lines. He's like, you gave that guy lines?
Yeah, for real. Oh, Stallone, you sassy bitch, you.
So, Dolph Lundgren, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
We will not make fun of your accent.
Let's talk.
So, no, all right. So, let's get into the movie again.
John McClane.
So, they have he has a fight with his wife, and there's this whole Christmas party going on until... Oh, this was... this reminded me a lot of The Dark Knight, actually. Or rather, The Dark Knight reminds me of this, which there's this huge Christmas party going in. All of a sudden, these terrorists come in with machine guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And they have the, like, the Joker scene where it's, you know... Hello, beautiful.
Yeah, and we're like, really?
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
She's a good actress.
Bunny Bedelia, right?
Yeah, and her too, yeah.
Which you mentioned she was in 3 o'clock High.
Right.
Which is a fucking amazing movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this
movie is full of all the entire time we're watching this movie. We're like, oh, it's that person. Oh, it's that guy.
Oh, my God.
Every '80s movies.
Every fucking 80s actor that you remember
is in this movie at some point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So Hans Gruber, played by the immaculate
Alan Rickman. This is breakout role. His first feature film role.
He's so good.
He's fucking amazing in it. Yeah.
He's so fucking good.
And he's just a super, super fucking British guy doing a German accent.
And just his way of speaking, his deliberateness.
Yeah.
His really like bad kind of Californian American accent he does later. It's so good.
If you wanted to do, especially in the 80s, if you wanted to do like who can we pick as the most evil sounding?
Yeah.
Oh, Alan Rickman. All through his career, he's the most evil sounding no matter what fucking movie he's in.
Yep.
Yeah. There's even like in the Dogma. When he first shows up, she's like super terrified of him because clearly he sounds like a fucking evil genius.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like he's the most evil sounding of anything.
Yeah, he's great. And one of the great voices.
Oh, for sure.
Just
for
of
sure.
all time.
I haven't seen him too much lately.
Well, because he's been dead for a year.
Oh, that's probably why.
That's probably why.
That's why.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah.
Sure does.
What has he been doing?
R.A.P.
Oh, that's right. Rotting in a grave.
R.A.P. Rest in peace.
We got that new role. Corpse.
Yeah. The new role of being dead for you. For a year.
Being dead.
Yeah. He auditioned for God and he got the part.
Yeah.
Yep.
Aw. That one's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well. No, maybe it's uplifting. He got the part as like, I don't know.
You could have said Satan, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm indicating he's in heaven now.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing theater with Shakespeare.
As he always wanted
to. I don't know. I just assume every English person wants to
do theater
with Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So I'm a racist.
He takes over this fucking building.
Yeah,
and
so he
rightly
takes over,
so, because... They're trying to steal $640 million worth of bonds.
Right. So the whole thing, they're presenting themselves because he was, you find out later, part of this like German terrorist group.
Yeah.
And they're presenting themselves to the cop as they're terrorists.
Yeah.
And they're like wanting demands to like release people from prison and all this bullshit. It's all bullshit.
They're just trying to get into that safe.
They're trying to steal $640 million.
Which, adjusted for inflation, now $48 billion. Yeah. No, trillion dollars.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
God damn it. Back in 88, 600, that's almost $1 billion back then. That's not fucking unheard of.
Yeah, in actual reality, like, it is like $2 or $3 billion worth of money in today's dollars.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out? $1 million was a lot of money back then.
That's right. Unlike now where
And that shit was like 15 years ago. Yeah. Now $1 million is fucking nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, I feel like $1 million is more of a burden because you're like, I got to pay a lot more taxes now.
Exactly. Yeah, with a new tax plan that the Republicans
I mean, I would passed. Still take the $1 million. Yeah, of course. But, of course.
So they begin their plot. However, good old John McClane, Bruce Willis, sees what's going down and he hightails it.
He's hanging out in a bathroom with no shoes on. He's just because a guy on the plane told him, take your shoes off.
That's right.
And like make fists with your feet, which is unless
that's right.
Unless you're a fucking monkey.
I guess to fight like
jet lag.
Yeah, which makes no sense. That. Yeah.
So he takes his fucking shoes off,
which becomes one of the most important things in the entire movie.
Yes, because it makes him more vulnerable and
exactly.
Ups the
stakes. Exactly.
I really, really enjoy that part that he does that.
So I don't know if we've mentioned this, but Mario is an actual actor, like a legit actor.
Yeah, that's actually how we know Mario is that.
Yeah.
made films where he has been the star of.
Yeah, yeah. He is a lover of the craft of acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a lover of the craft. I don't give a shit about the social media, man.
Yeah. Nor should you.
That's bullshit. Your problem, actually.
Yeah. That's like. All of our problems, I feel
our
like.
Our problem is that we hate social media so much.
We just hate other people, and we just want to do work.
Yeah, we just record this podcast for ourselves.
That's so that exactly we can right.
For our enjoyment. Yeah. Exactly. No one else's.
So that I can listen to
it
while I'm
working.
The
reason I make anything is for my enjoyment.
Not this fucking Facebook bullshit. No.
Every scene I shoot, every picture I take, every audio clip, it's just for me. Fuck you all.
I make movies to please myself.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But then Alan Rickman also is.
But now when you make movies to please yourself, it's just some like Louis C.K. shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Topical. So I don't know where you were going with that.
Oh, it was talking about the Fabios.
Oh, yes.
Alan Rickman. It's Alan. First of all, it's Alan Rickman who he's not a big dude. He is. It's a very Hitler-y thing, I feel.
Sure.
He is a, like a dark-haired, short, like vulnerable, like not a strong guy.
That surrounds himself with giant Aryan.
And he's got
men.
These giant. Yeah, exactly. He's got these giant like Fabio-looking dudes with like super long hair. Mm-hmm. It's that 80s fucking hair, man.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it like with the all the hair metal bands.
Yeah. And right. They're all like right, 6 foot two super muscular dudes that you've seen in all the other movies playing.
Oh, yeah.
The 6 foot two muscular bad guys.
Like henchmen.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for you also have the random Asian henchman and the random black dude.
Yeah, which is, I mean, and the black dude was a smart guy.
He's
which
the
is
nerd,
cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But the Asian henchman made no sense. I've seen that dude in a million movies, though. But he's still... He made no fucking sense. Why would he be in there? He
he's
has no...
Cool looking
now. Yeah.
Because he's cool, yeah.
He never pulls any karate moves, which I feel like if you're Asian...
He just kind of sits there and eats like a Nestle's Crunch Bar, and that's all.
Yeah.
Legitimately... He does. That is such a great moment because it's such a humanizing, like, natural beat. To just have this guy like the cops are about to break in and he's just like he's waiting for him and he's just there's some candy bars there so he just eats a candy bar.
It's like another day at the office.
It's such a fucking human thing to just be like fucking chocolate sounds good right now.
Makes no sense, dude. Asian people they don't do human.
They
shit.
Don't like chocolates.
No, they don't do human things.
Oh, okay. So your opinion is that
they are Vulcans.
They're emotionalists.
They have no emotion.
They have no emotion.
Super racist.
They have no emotion.
So John McClane.
He seriously didn't make any sense in the context of the.
If you're believing them as German terrorists, no. But once you understand that they're just thieves,
that's true. You pull in whoever
just,
you need.
Yeah, exactly. He's just another thief that they've got as part of their gang.
That makes sense.
So thus begins John McClane's one-man war on this group.
Yeah. And this is the first time, right? The first time in like a big action movie that this happens where it's like, oh, like the bad guys took over this and there's just happens to be one inside man.
Right.
Who's just a kind of like a regular Joe type of guy. Kicking ass. And like we said, on Under Siege, Steve Seagal rips that off hard.
Hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore rips that off. And everybody after that kind of rips it off. Yeah.
Yes.
And this is the first time that he's just like, I got to try to get a hold of the police, which he does. And it's just like two chicks that don't believe him.
Right.
It's a weird scene. A funny scene.
Pretty funny.
Two chicks being like, hey, stay off this channel. This is for emergencies. It's like, this is an emergency.
What the fuck does this sound like?
Yeah. And they're like, I'm going to tell you again, stay off this channel. This is for emergencies.
And then like after they reluctantly are like, well, I guess we'll send a cop out there. Fuck.
And they send out the fucking most Twinkie eating motherfucker.
Yeah.
There it starts. The bromance.
Yeah, yes. The bromance starts right there.
Begins right there.
So Bruce Willis manages to kill one of the guys, takes the gun, takes the radio. That's where he contacts those two girls. They contact one Reginald Vell Johnson, professional cop player.
Yeah, we talked about him in Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch, yeah.
Family Matters.
Also, Family Matters. Sure. He was a cop in Family Matters.
For like 8 years.
Yeah.
Also, had no bearing in the fucking show. He could have been anything.
Yeah, no, but they were just like, what is this guy? He's a cop.
He's a fucking cop. Yeah, he'll always be a cop.
Yeah. So
he's the cop that gave up already. He's not a beat cop anymore.
No.
So he'd just be a fat guy cop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a real thing in movies.
He's the
fat guy cop.
He's the guy that's like, he's done with the idealism of like trying to save the world.
Because he shot a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
He shot the wrong person.
That's right.
That's a cop shot that I want to be. I want to be the fat guy cop. I don't want to do the beach work. No. I don't want to do any of that shit or like wearing a suit to work and all that shit. Like, I just want to be the guy who is just a fat dude now.
Yeah.
He doesn't run after everybody. He doesn't put that much hard work into it.
You want to be the cop equivalent of sweatpants.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You've just given up.
You want to be the Sylvester Stallone cop in Copland. I want to be the cop. I want to be the cop in Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I don't even want to be the. So Sylvester Stallone in Copland works really fucking hard against all odds.
He does late.
I don't want to do that.
You want to be like Act One cop in Copland.
Yeah, exactly. I want
to. Not Act Three. Not Act Three.
No, I want to. I want to just
Act
be,
Three. You're in a shootout with Harvey Keitel.
You don't want to. I don't not want to do that. I want to. I want to know the clerks at the 7-Elevens because I go in there and get hot dogs all the fucking time.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares, and I'm just banking on like I'm gonna fucking retire.
Yeah, you're just counting the years. Yeah, counting the months, years. The yeah, weeks, exactly. The days. Yeah,
I put some time in now. Now like my family life is cool, and now yeah. I just want to retire. Yeah, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to break the rules.
Yeah, me, I'm about saving models and
yeah, exactly.
Driving a cool car,
driving a cool car, shooting people in the face, having cool axe lines. Fights.
Yeah, having a match in my mouth and lighting somebody on fire.
Fighting a fucking gang that's whole thing is Axis.
Yep.
Holy shit, that's a fucking hardcore gang.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Fucking Cobra, man. Yeah.
what a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what's funny is that this is one of the best action movies ever made.
It is. So, I mean, is this is a top five action movie, yes?
Top five
yes.
action movie. And really, we spent a long time talking about other action movies that we like more than this action movie.
I don't think we like any of those action movies more than this.
That's true. We just like those movies as well.
Yes, exactly.
Well, see, when we cover those action movies, we'll be talking about this action
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, I do legitimately think, like, when you're talking about all-time great action movies, in terms of influence, in terms of just, like, what do you change in Die Hard? The answer is nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
The answer is nothing. Yeah, yeah, it's a perfect movie. And it completely both defined and started an entire genre of like average guy.
Yeah.
Taking care of business.
Taking care of business. It also, the whole, like you said, trapped in a single location yeah. movie. The wisecracking hero.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It really, because even like in, we talked about this like in Witness or like in the 70s. It was very like a grimy cop.
Sure.
You know, and it was always super fucking serious.
Yeah, yeah. He would not make jokes. No. Bruce Willis made jokes. Yeah,
Bruce Willis makes a lot of fucking jokes.
Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
So we're talking about in the plot.
He said it.
Yeah, exactly. He totally fucking said it.
He said it.
He kills that guy. He takes a machine gun. Not good enough for him.
Yeah, he has to taunt.
He has to taunt. He writes on the fucking guy, on the guy's corpse.
Now
he writes
a machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
They got a monologue,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
That is a completely unnecessary move, but a very charming and cool fucking thing for him to do.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's monologuing the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
In a weird way, this is almost like a play. Like, it's one location. The guy's talking to himself constantly.
Yeah.
Like, it almost could be like a theatrical experience as long as you had a lot of pyrotechnics.
Yeah, a lot of, like, miniature pyrotechnics in the background and stuff like that. Which I don't know if you ever saw the episode of Bob's Burgers. There's a Bob's Burgers episode this is actually really funny because we covered Working Girl, where they're doing a musical of Working Girl. And Gene doesn't want to do the musical of Working Girl because they fire him off of it. So he does a musical of Die Hard in the basement at the same time as a Working Girl musical.
Actually, I did see that episode. That's pretty great.
It's a fucking great episode. Yeah.
That's pretty fucking great.
But that goes with it. Like, Die Hard could be a play.
Could totally be a play.
For sure. And why not? I'd say, Broadway.
You know what else could be a play?
Our sponsors?
Our sponsors.
Best segue.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
as I always say about our great sponsors, to rent or not to rent?
What?
That is the question.
Wait,
whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows. No.
Did you just ask if we have sponsors?
We do have sponsors.
We have sponsors, sir.
You've listened to some episodes. Come on, get with it.
We are a legitimate podcast.
Yeah, we're a totally legitimate podcast.
We are not just two dudes in a room.
Yep. Not
making shit up.
Nope.
We are a legitimate podcaster.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks like a kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, only, yeah, we record in the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
It only looks like a kitchen because this is called set design.
Because sir, we have a great,
I thought you were a legitimate actor.
We have a great art director.
Yeah, have a great art director that's really worked hard at making this look like an actual kitchen.
Camera ready. I thought that was a camera.
That's
yeah.
True.
God.
Mario did show up camera ready.
Yeah.
Camera
ready, and you know, yeah. Too bad you guys can't see it.
It was a lot. He was like, do you guys have a makeup person or do I have to do my own makeup?
Yeah.
I need to know that ahead of time.
That's true. He wanted a barber and a makeup person and everything. Just perfect.
Oh,
but.
God. It's funny.
And I was like, uh-huh. It's and then when he was done, I was like, true. Fuck you. That's what I say.
But you know, if you need makeup or a barber, there's one right next to People's Choice Video.
People's Choice Video Express providing the movie. We rented the movie tonight on Blu-ray.
Yeah, we did. They got Blu-ray and DVD there of this amazing film, as well as all the Dark Horse movies, even the bad ones.
Yeah. Video games, movies, pop culture, t-shirts, toys, adult movies.
Some really great toys.
Yeah.
Great Bruce Willis toy.
Overpriced candy, which is...
Hey,
yeah,
look.
It's yeah, what is it called? It's a...
it's a convenience markup.
Yeah, a convenience markup, yeah.
They got Bruce Willis toys or Bruce Lee toys. Who's the only other Bruce besides Bruce Willis that is important?
That is
The other famous Bruce.
The other famous Bruce. Right. But yeah, great store.
I mean Bruce Valanche, but anyway.
And Bruce Greenwood and sure, there's other Bruces.
Yeah.
But yeah, great store. We love it a lot. And if you're in Southern Arizona, you really owe it to yourself to check it out. Also, follow it on Facebook. They post the new releases every week.
Yeah.
All kinds of cool stuff.
And then also a Beer Geek Bakery.
Beer Geek Bakery. What amazing snacks you can get from Beer Geek Bakery. It's the holiday season. There's still beer. Well, actually, by the time you hear this, there may not be time because we're recording this early.
Yeah, but you can still go to Tucson Hop Shop and get like but you can brownies and stuff like that.
You can
like
definitely
that,
still follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Facebook to find out about the amazing events every week or two. And hey, maybe if it's not, you know, maybe too late for Christmas, but how about New Year's?
Yeah.
How about your, I don't know, weddings or anniversaries or birthdays?
Yeah.
Get a Beer Geek Bakery.
Yeah. Beer Geek's goodies made with beer.
Yeah.
Actual beer.
Craft amazing local craft beer. Pairs perfectly with the beer. So if you want to get drunk and eat pastries, which I know you do.
Because I do.
Because everyone does. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook, right. Instagram. Also check us out. Facebook, not Instagram.
So when
we don't got a shit to post.
We'll do that shit.
No, fuck
when,
that.
When Reginald Johnson gets called, he's at a 7-Eleven.
Yep.
Gas, 74 cents a gallon.
Oh, wow. That's so... I just got hard.
Like yeah. Right now, it's like $2.75.
Yeah, it's really... And I've been driving a lot lately, and I have spent so much on gas.
We're supposed to actually be in like the low point for gas because it's fucking summertime.
Right.
Yeah. No dice.
No.
Bullshit. But anyway, yeah, 74 cents a gallon back then.
Yeah.
And then it was like make your own milkshake for 99 cents. I saw that sign.
They had milkshakes?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he decides, fucking Avell Johnson decides, I'm going to go check it out. Well, they tell him, like, go check it out.
And he's like, I got this.
He's cool. He goes and he checks it out. And he's like, this is just a fucking building. And there's a security guy. He goes in, he talks to the guy. And the guy plays it off pretty all right.
Yeah.
He's clearly a big Russian German long haired dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he doesn't know that.
So, yeah. So he goes to leave. Bruce Willis sees him leaving and is like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, what do I do?
Who's driving this car? Fucking, you know, the blind dude.
No. You blew it. Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder. All right. He's like, who's driving this car?
It's Stevie Wonder. Right. Yeah, exactly. Again, jokes. Bruce Willis.
Jokey jokes.
But so he's killed a couple more guys since then. So he throws a dude out the window onto Reginald Val Johnson's car.
To get his attention.
Which, what an amazing shot.
Best way to get somebody's fucking attention. Yeah.
But then, and then the follow-up is great too, which one of the other thieves has like an M60. And as soon as that happens, it's like, well, I might as well just shoot the fuck out of this car.
Yeah. As soon as he sees it, he's like, well, now I got to kill this fucking cop.
Yeah, yeah. So it becomes like a fucking war zone. He calls in all the rest of the cops. It becomes a whole like standoff thing.
It's the guy that comes in, the chief of police or whatever.
Yeah.
He's a principal from the Breakfast Club.
That's right.
The teacher from the Breakfast
Club. The teacher, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that. It's like the you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Get the horns, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, then, going back to every fucking 80s guy that you know
exactly.
is in this fucking
Which
movie.
You also get around this same time, you get good old Walter Peck from Ghostbusters.
He's a reporter.
He's the reporter that gets punched in the face later, which is a great scene.
Good old Dickless.
Yeah, Dickless. Yeah, that's right. It is true.
And also, we totally thought Huey Lewis was one of the fucking...
Right.
He looked exactly like Huey Lewis. I was like, is that Huey Lewis? And like,
yeah, Mario called it. I was like, he's like, that's Huey Lewis. And we went back and we're like, that's Huey Lewis, not Huey not Lewis. Huey Lewis. That was just what got you laid.
That was the style, exactly.
He was riding a pussy train that was now going to derail.
No.
Until Huey Lewis was now
famous. Have a fun love.
So,
what else would you fucking dress as if not Huey Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were either dressing as Huey Lewis or as Tommy Lee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. It's crushing what he was doing.
Left and right.
Taking names.
So... by this point, you get the, at some point in here anyways, you get the great Bruce Willis going through elevator shafts, going through the ventilation shafts.
Yeah, again, first movie that fucking did that, walking through the vents with the fucking
the
lighter.
One of the most iconic shots when he pulls out that lighter and he's sitting there. It's so good. And there is actually, if you watch Mythbusters, they actually do a... Could you sneak around in the vents?
Oh, no shit, really?
Yeah.
Without
the answer
too
is
much
fuck no.
No, it makes
it's
a shit ton
so
of noise.
Loud. It's so fucking loud. But in fairness, in this movie, actually, every time, like, he moves, but then as soon as, like, they get near to him, he's standing still.
Yeah. And then they do shoot up the vents, like, they hear him.
And somehow they don't hit him, which is movie magic.
Well,
because
he's amazing.
Because that's how it works.
See, if Schwarzenegger was in there, he would have been dead.
Yeah, because he's so big.
He's
yeah.
so big.
He is
you
made
would
of
see
stone.
The outline of his body in that
just
vent.
Pushing the vent down.
Yeah, exactly.
I do feel like Schwarzenegger was just a golem that was summoned up. He was a mud golem that was summoned up like 48 years. Well, no, like 60 years ago.
Like 68 years ago.
Yeah, like 68 years ago, he was brought up because he's fucking made of stone. Like, God damn it, that guy.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Although, I mean, The Rock nowadays is like the same version of that.
Exactly.
Just in like muscle mass.
Yeah.
And
The Rock is crazy to me because The Rock, like, you see The Rock 20 years ago and you're like, yeah, that's a super built guy. And now.
You see The Rock now.
And you're just like, what the fuck
Again,
is that?
Somebody fucking carved him out of stone. No, it's fucking crazy. And then you see, like, especially on Hercules.
It's like, do you ever see the cartoons where they'll put, like, the air pump into somebody and pump them up with air?
Yeah.
Like, it felt like somebody did that to actual Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah,
like,
to the actual Rock.
Yeah.
That's a funny thing that happens. But that happens all the time because, like, I was watching X2 the other day.
Oh, Hugh Jackman?
And Hugh Jackman is just a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He Wolverine is just he's kind of like a little muscular guy, but he's just a guy. Fucking Hugh Jackman and Logan, and Hugh Jackman in the fucking the Wolverine movies
are like Apocalypse. Or you see him. Yeah.
He's a fucking huge ass motherfucker. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's when he stopped doing it.
Yeah, because who wants to do that shit
all the fucking time? That's true. That's a thing you have to fucking deal with all the time, right, Mario? Like.
What's that?
Just
like
working
just
out,
being fucking fit all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
When's the last time you had bread, Mario?
It's weird.
Bread.
I actually had a sandwich.
Sugar.
I actually had a sandwich before I came here. Actually,
oh shit!
When's the last time you had fucking sugar?
It was really delicious.
Were you carbo loading?
No, it's interesting because you talked about it before we started. The whole thing with the camera adding 10 pounds and you know all that stuff. It's interesting because. You have to decide what type of actor you want to be. Because if you're a leading man, you cannot get that big. And Bruce Willis, I think he was like a prime example of that.
Yeah, he's not big at all.
He was a big action star, but speaking figuratively, not literally.
Right.
Because he is not a big guy by any means.
Exactly, because he's the relatable action star.
Yes.
So we were talking about this a lot while watching the movie. There's a couple of different kinds of action star. There's obviously the Stallone Schwarzenegger type, which is the larger than life.
Yeah.
And even like you could throw John Wayne into that, even though he's not cut in the same way.
No drum.
I had a deal. Yeah, no, that's good.
I had a deal.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth. Anyways, but no, like, even though he's not, like,
you have to say Pilgrim, but anyway. You have to say Pilgrim if it's fucking John Wayne.
I won't. The hell I won't. Anyways, no, but, like, even though he's not, like, super jacked the way they are.
It's all testosterone.
He's the larger than life, like, when he shows up, he's a fucking man. Yeah. And he's gonna, like, lay down the fucking law, right? And then you have those super relatable guys like
Mel Gibson,
Bruce Willis, Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And then you have the guys that are just like super charismatic leading men that sometimes do action. So your Harrison Fords, your Steve McQueen.
Even nowadays, like Ryan Gosling,
Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then you have like the guys that are just action guys and not relatable at all, which is like Van Damme.
Exactly.
Sylvester Stallone.
Well, no,
that's not Stallone, but like
Seagal.
Steven Seagal. They are not good actors by any means.
They're just guys.
They can just like kick guys
people.
Hard.
Yeah, oh,
yeah. Yeah, so it's like different tiers of action.
Exactly, for sure. And now we're in a weird time for action movies because there's very few straight action movies. Now everything's like superhero stuff and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So like you'll get some John Wicks in there. And obviously you still get like the Kung Fu movies and stuff, like The Raid, Raid 2, stuff like that. Ong Bak.
Or Jason Statham.
Jason Statham is kind of the last traditional action hero.
Liam Neeson,
yeah.
He's part of that old...
The old man, the wave of old guys kicking ass.
Liam Neeson is in the Clint Eastwood style of like, he's too old for this shit. But he will still.
But he's gonna kick some fucking ass. Yeah. Did you ever have to like audition for a movie with a fucking like tank top on?
Oh yeah, I would go in the audition and hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Okay,
take off your shirt.
Like,
fucking weird.
Yeah, you just take it off.
What a weird fucking. Yeah. Oh yeah. All right, good. Take off your shirt. Like, okay, I'm not a piece of meat, but I'll do it.
I remember the worst one was pretend this glass is full of water and you're pouring it on your head.
Really?
Yeah.
You had to pretend like you were pouring it.
For a commercial with John Leguizamo. It was for a cable commercial.
Oh.
Yeah, and it had to deal with his daughter watching cable. And
because obviously when you're watching cable, you're thinking about pouring a glass of water on your fucking head.
I guess John Leguizamo comes in and he sees his daughter, you know, being really, really
sexual.
Yeah, really, really taken with this guy on screen. It's like a novella star. Yeah. And my hair was longer back then and I had to pretend I was drinking water and I'm talking to her. Yeah, it was pretty cheesy.
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
So they're like, take off your shirt and pretend like you're pouring.
Yeah, here's a glass and then pour on your head and then, you know, pretend you're drinking it and give us a sexy smile.
Were you like, fuck you? What? Like, get the fuck out. Like, are you serious right now? Like, what? I mean, you can't do that. You have to just be like, yeah, I'm running, especially with auditions, right? You have to be like,
you just have to be game and just do it.
Whatever the fuck they
and
say,
just
do
swallow
it.
Your pride and just do it. Yeah.
I mean, if there's any casting directors out there, anything Mario won't do, I will do. I will do that shit.
Yeah. If only
I may not be as attractive.
If only you look
talented.
Like Mario. If only you look like Mario and were an actor. You do have a good like Vincent D'Onofrio look going for you right now.
Yeah.
I like the way that looks, man.
Yeah.
Short hair with a beard.
Yeah,
short hair with a beard.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a short-haired, bearded guy that's willing to do any, and I mean anything.
If you want Vincent D'Onofrio for only $25.
He's a little German, so a little controversial.
Yeah, exactly. That's the guy. This is the guy you need to fucking talk to.
That's right.
Also, I'm his manager now, so 10%. 10% over to me.
I like how you slid in there. just like...
Verbal contract. Yeah, verbal contract. Checks out.
Witness.
Mario's on board. That's what we're fucking.
Yeah. We're twins. We're twins, by the way. Yeah. In case you wonder what I look like, I look like Francisco.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know, if you want to know what Mario looks like, he looks like my twin.
You should use that in reverse and be like, if you want to know what I look like, I look like this guy.
I used to that shit all the time. I used to that all the time. Because, like, I used to be friends, you know, like, I was friends with...
You used Mario's picture as your profile on Tinder?
Wait, that was you?
Sweet. Yeah, like, fucking... Well, again, entourage. I'm going to be the guy just picking up everything that bounces off of you.
Scraps.
Yeah, everything that bounces off of you comes to me.
It's going to stick right to him.
Yeah. I am okay with that.
You're the Mac in this situation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm very okay with that.
I don't mind being the Danny DeVito.
No. Yeah.
No. Doing cleanup. So, we haven't really talked much about this movie, but you've all seen it, so it doesn't really matter. John McClane continues to kill a lot of people.
Shoots a lot of motherfuckers.
There is a scene I do want to talk about, because this is a brilliant thing for the writer and director to do, which is, so this whole time, the villain and the hero, like, the only interactions they've had is over the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, the walkie-talkie. Right. They are in tune with each other's channels.
And right.
Shit. Yeah.
So, but they give them a chance to actually have a face-to-face.
Which is a great scene.
Oh, yeah. For an actor. Yeah. And it's just a great scene for the audience mm-hmm. to finally have your protagonist and your antagonist actually interacting.
Face-to-face without knowing it.
Exactly. So
Dramatic irony.
Dramatic irony. Like, the tension is so good. So Bruce Willis gets the drop on him, and Alan Rickman, Hans Gruber, immediately pretends to be a hostage.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my God, you're one of those guys. Yeah,
he puts on this like American, Californian, like surfer accent, freaks out, and Bruce Willis is like, don't worry about it. I won't hurt you.
Yeah,
like,
what are you doing? You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Have a smoke.
And they have this whole scene where it's just incredibly tense, because you know,
again, all right, so yeah. Mario mentioned dramatic irony.
Yeah,
right.
And what it is
the actual definition.
Yeah, right. The audience is in on it. The audience knows what's going on. The characters don't know what's going on.
In mm-hmm. this case, one of the characters, but yes.
Yeah, one of the characters doesn't know what's going on, who's Bruce Willis, know what's going on, but we are in on it.
Yeah.
We know what it's at stake here, and the tension builds.
Right. And then
he doesn't know.
John McClane hands him a gun, and you're like, oh, fuck.
And he tells him, like, yeah, if you need a gun, protect yourself.
You know how to use this, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, predictably, Hans turns the gun on him, ready to kill him. Gun's empty.
Because John McClane's not a fucking idiot. No, is why.
He was onto that shit.
Yeah. He fucking knew that shit. So he gave him an empty gun, of course you give him an empty gun.
Yeah. But then a bunch of the henchmen break in, and it becomes a huge gunfight. And
we go into the glass.
And then he cuts his feet up, and it's that great stuff.
This is one of the most iconic things from the fucking...
The bleeding feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hans tells his henchmen, like, shoot the glass, because he saw that he was barefoot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then John McClane has to walk through the fucking glass.
Up in the stakes,
which he totally fucking does.
Vulnerability, like you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Relatability.
Right, absolutely.
He's just a guy.
Yep.
And he has to walk through the fucking glass. And
he
fucking does it. He does it.
He does it because he has to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a thing that both humanizes him and heroizes him, because he does a thing that's super hard and painful, but he does it because he has to.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the thing that heroes do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the great scene when he's talking to Reginald Vell Johnson, and he's like, you know, why aren't you still you know, and
he has a
shot a kid.
He has
only 13. And
he also has a scene. Reginald Vell Johnson. First of all, Reginald Vell Johnson shot a 13-year-old kid.
Why is he not in prison?
Yeah. It's a funny thing for
him. It was 1988.
For him to be like, he's like, well, what happened? He's like, I'm just a beat cop now. Because I shot a 13-year-old child.
Yeah.
And then
13's old enough to have a child, so...
You're old enough to get shot?
You're old enough to get shot. If you're old enough to procreate, you're old enough to get shot.
Yeah. Why is he... He should at least not be a cop anymore.
Yeah, well...
Like, I know you 1988. I know you make mistakes, but goddammit, you shot a 13-year-old kid.
I mean,
like, don't be a cop.
Thank God he was black, because then...
Because if he would have been white, it would have been a whole thing. Also, Bruce Willis has a great line in it about when he's taking the glass out of his feet, where he says, like, I'd rather be in Philadelphia, which is a shot to W.C. Fields. That was one of his famous fucking lines. And this is old school.
There is a lot of little old school references. There's a lot of old school references to Westerns, both, of course, John Wayne, but also Roy Rogers, and like a lot of like the old classic stuff.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is that W.C. Fields used to use that line in the corniest fucking ways.
An homage, right? Like an homage?
Yeah, it was an homage for that.
Yeah, a little.
But he would do it in the most fucking
weird
shit.
Even in 1988, that was super obscure.
Yeah. No, for sure, because it would be like W.C. Fields, they would be like, oh, well, you burned your hat with your cigar. And then he would be like, I'd rather be in Philadelphia, which makes no fucking sense.
No.
But back in the fucking 40s, audiences were just laughing it up because there were depression.
It's the same way. Yeah, right? They would take anything.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that they thought was funny.
Any port in a storm.
Yeah.
It's interesting to mention how this movie changed actors' pay. Because not only was he was off of Moonlighting, doing Moonlighting, but he was the TV actor. He got paid $5 million.
Fucking
this movie.
Unheard of.
That changed the game for every single actor who was a name. They said, who is this TV actor, which was really low grade,
$5 million.
Who's making $5 million off an action movie? This is unheard of. So that actually, everybody's pay started to go up after this 1988.
Yeah, and you can see that because when you get into the early 90s, you start hearing about $10 million,
$20 million,
for sure.
$15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now it's starting to come back down.
Oh, yeah, for
now
sure.
It's going back down. Yeah.
Because now actors don't have the cachet they used to have. Now it's all about franchise.
Yeah, it used to be like the actor name. Yeah, we're bringing
Al Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon.
Right,
you
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And very famously, Legends of the Fall was all, people just went to see it because the hottest actors were in it.
That's true. Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And they could carry.
Exactly.
That much money.
Now you go see Star Wars because it's Star Wars, not because of who the fuck.
Yeah, not because of fucking John Boyega.
Same with Marvel movies, same with all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But even when I think about like all-star cast now, I think about like Wes Anderson movies. But those people are all working for...
Just to be in a Wes Anderson movie.
Wes Anderson's great. Yeah. Yeah.
And then actually, they're not an all-star cast now. They were an all-star cast in 1989.
Right.
Just Wes Anderson just has them now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, we finally get towards the end of this movie that we've talked about for like 5 minutes in this hour of podcast. And so he's all cut up to shit. The building's been blown up like five ways to Sunday.
Mario pointed out that his shirt changes color.
He had a wardrobe change somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At some point, his shirt goes from white to gray.
Oh, well, like brown. Full weird brown gray. Yeah. Yeah.
Not just dirt.
No, we were talking about like, oh, he was in events and shit.
That's what I thought.
This is like clear, like the whole shirt is like color. Brown.
Yeah, because it's not like there are spots that are still white.
No. He completely changed.
It's a different shirt. Mm-hmm. And then eventually he goes shirtless. The amazing stunt where he jumps off the roof with the fire hose.
Oh, yeah.
And as he's exploding, incredible stunt. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
His bloody feet slam up against the
window, which another great fucking touch. Because you get the blood smear on the window as he's like trying to kick it in.
Yeah.
And his feet were full of glass.
Yeah, and it just reminds you.
Fucking suck.
It reminds you of the pain he's in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
For real.
Such a nice touch.
He's about to inflict more pain, more glass in his feet when he breaks through that window.
He gets the incredible fight scene with the main henchmen.
Yeah.
Where they just beat the fuck out of each other.
He wraps the chain around
like
his fucking neck.
And then hangs him, yeah.
Yeah.
But even before that, they beat the hell out of each other.
And that guy is way bigger than Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, again, he's the underdog.
Yeah, he's the underdog. That's the whole point. That's why he fucking... Yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
bigger than Bruce Willis.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
yeah.
And Francisco is not a big fellow.
I mean, I work out or whatever, but... Yeah, I've just been working out, you know.
You look fantastic.
I've been eating a lot. Thanks, man. No, it's because we're twins.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You look
Every
fantastic.
Every time you say that I look fantastic, you're saying you look fantastic.
Yeah. That's how that works.
No, you look fantastic.
So, and then finally we get the scene. So now he's completely no shirt, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Shirtless Bruce Willis.
Shirtless, shoeless Bruce Willis.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like shirtless a fucking blues fucking artist, which... Yeah. Bruce Willis is.
Exactly.
Or like a 1912 baseball player.
Shirtless, shoeless Willis.
Yeah, shirtless, shoeless Willis.
I saw him back in 1912 playing for the White Sox.
Yeah. He used to hit balls with the skinniest of sticks.
That fella, he didn't even have a glove. He'd catch it in his teeth.
What's the name of Bruce Willis' fucking band?
What, Bruno? His Bruno thing?
Was his band, right? He had a...
I don't know about his band, but it was the Bruno was his like recording artist.
Okay, all right, Bruno. Stupid Bruno.
Bruno?
Bruno.
Hey, what about Bruno Mars? He stole that from Bruno.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I think he pretty much did. He stole his whole act.
Yeah, all of it. All right. Everybody steals from fucking Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and Bruce Willis.
And Bruce Willis, of course.
It's true.
He's down to two bullets.
Yeah. Yes, two.
And he knows that his wife is now like the cat is out of the bag. His wife has been taken hostage by Hans Gruber. How is he going to save his wife with only two bullets? And she's now a hostage.
He's got no shirt on. And then what the fuck does he do? He tapes a fucking gun to his back.
To his bare back.
That's brilliant right. fucking thing you could think of.
So he goes in, quote unquote, surrenders. And then they're talking and he's kind of keeping it light and laughing.
He reaches back. He's like, great shot of the gun. Yeah. To his back.
Grabs the gun.
He grabs the gun.
Yells at his wife. She ducks out of the way. He shoots Hans Gruber. Shoots the other guy who's square in the head with a great shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And
Huey Lewis.
Yeah, he shoots Huey Lewis straight in the head.
Hans Gruber falls back through the window, almost pulls the wife down.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing about how evil Hans Gruber is. He is hanging on by a thread. And what does he do? He pulls his gun up to shoot Bruce Willis. That's right. Not to fucking survive. He could have let go of the gun and been like, I'm going to grab onto something. Instead, he's like, I want to shoot this. I want to kill this motherfucker with my last fucking breath.
That's right.
But before he can do that.
He gets done.
He gets done. He gets dropped on.
Yeah. And there's that great blue screen shot of him falling in slow motion. And then it goes to the wide shot. There's so many good effects in this. This movie has aged really well effect-wise.
Yeah, because the same shit happens in RoboCop.
Yeah.
And that's one of the worst effects I've ever seen in RoboCop, where they drop the guy out of the building and it's a stop-motion animation
puppet. Yeah.
And his arms are way too fucking long for his body.
Here it's just blue screen.
Oh, yeah. Here it's like super slow-motion blue screen. Looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does look good.
And I think
the version we've seen, I think they've cleaned it up some, because I do remember it looking worse on TV.
It looked really good in this.
It looked really good here. I think they've gone back and done some cleanup for the re-release, but it looks great.
For the Blu-ray.
Watch it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Really, really good. And then you get the great scene as they're leaving the building. He sees Reginald Vell Johnson for the first time. They have this great moment where they hug. And
again, the bromance, man. The bromance.
Exactly.
Comes through.
And then Reginald Johnson still pulls his gun because there's the fucking dude with the Fabio hair. He's still alive.
You get one more old school 80s action thing of like, oh, everything is great. What? Yeah,
exactly.
And then one bad guy shows up.
It gives Reginald Johnson a chance to be a hero.
Yeah. And he's like, he wasn't 13, guys. Yeah. He wasn't 13 years old. I swear to God.
Now every time he's like, I shot a kid, but also I shot a terrorist.
A terrorist, exactly. all right. So that's how it works with that shit. If you accidentally kill a child,
You can
clean that up by killing a terrorist after that.
Oh, excellent.
And everybody forgets about the child.
Everybody forgets
about
the kid.
You're a hero now.
What if I kill like two terrorists? Can I then just murder two children for no reason?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I feel like it works that way. Yeah. You also get a parade.
Fuck yeah.
I
feel
like bagpipes and everything.
Terrorists. Yeah, bagpipes. You get a fucking New York bagpipes and everything. Yeah.
Excellent. I have a plan now.
You have to note this too. It's been, I forgot where I saw this, but they were talking about this Netflix and Chill, how Die Hard was the number one movie that women picked to Netflix and Chill.
Really?
Cool. Holy comedy. Shit. Smart, you know, sarcastic.
Well, the most
action, it was Die Hard.
Yeah, the most charming fucking guy.
Very,
you can
very
charming.
Yeah, they wanted that one.
Wow. Penny dropping.
So make sure you keep that in mind.
Bruce Willis in the beginning of this movie dropping panties. Because the whole thing about Netflix and Chill is that you get 20 minutes before you fuck.
Right. Exactly.
So for the chicks, the first 20 minutes of this Bruce Willis,
interesting,
good enough.
There you go.
Oh, that is fucking good news. That's good information to have, my friend.
That is very
good
information. And that is
good
news.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
That is good news to know that I can put on this movie instead of The Notebook and still fuck.
And
like,
yeah,
that
you
is good news.
Because you have to go through the whole Notebook.
Yeah, exactly.
In this,
and then you get a cry fuck, which is a completely different
kind
of fuck.
Yeah, that's how I held it. I mean, I'm still on board.
Oh,
but
obviously. Obviously.
I'm still on board, but that's still a whole different kind of fuck. I want the Bruce Willis and Die Hard fuck. Holy shit. Bruce Willis. That's good information, man. I really got to thank you on that.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem.
That's fucking great. I can't believe that. All right. Now we know.
So this is a great movie. I think we all agree it is one of the greatest action movies of all time.
Yeah,
yes.
If we didn't talk about it that much, it's because we already have seen it a million times.
And
we love
you
it so
to.
Much.
Yeah.
that, god damn it, it's so fucking good.
It's, again, it's one of the few movies where, because I'm notorious about that, my friends, my non, like, movie friends, not you two, my non-movie friends always, well, we're not your, like, friends,
but anyway.
Go, yeah, on. We're not. My associates that are not you two, they always, like, get on me because every single movie, they're like, oh, that was a good movie. And I'm like, yeah, but.
Yeah, it's okay.
Here's some things I had problems with. And this is one of those, and then they're always like, oh, you hate everything. And I kind of do, mostly.
It's like this, like Road Warrior, Big Trouble.
Sure, sure.
Like, mm-hmm. They're perfect.
Yes, movies. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this Predator. This is a movie where if you bring up, like, Die Hard, I'm just like, yeah, there's, you change nothing. It's perfect.
That is a perfect fucking
it's
movie.
It's great. Mm-hmm. From beginning to end, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, it is fucking great. And it's like you said, super influential. Super everybody ripped it off.
Right. That's right. Everybody ripped it off.
But if you like Die Hard,
you may like one of our recommendations.
Recommendations. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
You go first.
All right. We talked about this already. I'm going to recommend The Detective with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Same character.
Yeah. Same character based on the book by the same author. He plays a cop who there's a gay guy that gets beat to death, and he. Really, it's especially back in like 68, which is a weird, like, taboo topic. He decides to really work hard, and he uncovers this whole corruption thing about covering it up. Really, the movie is about, like, he is trying to solve this crime at the same time his wife is cheating on him, and it's him, like, trying to cope with all his personal shit at the same time while he's coping with his fucking professional shit. Like,
yeah, that's very smart.
Interesting.
Yeah,
really, really good. I love Frank Sinatra as an actor, actually, especially in serious roles. Watch The Detective. Really good. Do you have something, Mario?
I can go if you want to think for a second.
Oh, what's the name of that remake?
It's called...
Nicolas Cage... Harvey Keitel,
National Treasure.
Oh, you're talking about
You're calling Battle Lieutenant.
Battle Lieutenant Porter Lieutenant.
Yeah, I want to say Battle Lieutenant.
You recommended that last week. That's really
good. Last week, but the week before. But
you're right. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Yes, with Nicolas Cage, because he's dealing with so many personal issues with this pain that he has in his back, and he's trying to save his own ass at the same time. It's more of a self-centered because he's a drug addict in this movie. But
yeah, he's a bit insane.
He's a little insane,
Lieutenant.
But I highly recommend that one. Cop movie, obviously. I'm going to recommend a cop movie. I don't know why. That's the first one that came to my mind.
Fucking A, man. Because
I think the dialogue was on point.
I also recommended that movie. And thank you. Because we're twins.
That's true.
Think alike.
Twins, because we're fucking twins. God damn it. That's a great fucking movie.
That's so funny, man.
Yeah. Good job on that. All right.
That's great. That is awesome. I do. We talked.
What do you bench?
You say first, though. You say first.
I have to first.
You were going to the gym? Nah, I would have seen you.
Yeah. While we were watching the movie, one of the movies we brought up was Copland, which is an incredible movie. But so quick shout out to Copland. It's great. But I do want to recommend. So I was thinking about a series of detective kind of novels and crime novels back in the 50s and 60s and stuff. And that made me think of the Parker books.
So y'all gonna recommend Copland? Awesome! Yeah, no, Copland.
I'm recommending Payback.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, Payback.
Payback is fucking amazing.
Oh, that's a great
Payback.
Film,
Mel
man.
Gibson, which again we talked about. He's in that same tier.
That same fucking Bruce.
That
Willis
same
tier.
Bruce Willis tier.
Yes.
Payback's based off one of the Parker novels, and which is a great series of novels if you haven't read them. Back from the like 50s, 60s, very noir novels. Amazing, great stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, it's a very simple story, but also crazy story about this guy that he went to prison. He gets out. He comes back for like a kind of ridiculously small amount of money.
It's like $70,000.
It's like $70,000. He goes after like organized crime.
He goes after the whole mob.
Yeah. He goes
for
after
70
the entire,
grand.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of jokes about like 70 grand.
Yeah, like what?
And they keep telling him. They keep telling him like he's here for 150 grand and he's like 70 grand.
Like he's really, and it's just a really funny but like awesome action movie.
Oh, it's one of my favorite Mel Gibson.
It's Mel Gibson just being fucking
for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, me too.
And it's really well shot. Like it was a unique, like the color schemes and stuff that they used at the time was a really unique way, like very monochromatic. And like
it's,
kind of
like
desaturated
very, like,
at
blue-ish,
a time.
Yeah.
It was desaturated at a time that wasn't a thing. It's a really cool movie and great supporting actors and actress. Maria Bello is great in it. Yeah, Lucy Liu,
and Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, Christopherson is great. Coburn is amazing. Just a really fun, awesome, cool movie. And watch it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that's the end of the podcast.
And I think this is our last podcast before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, you assholes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
What was the Home Alone thing? Merry Christmas, you...
Filthy animal.
Yeah, you filthy animal.
Oh, that was it. Filthy animal.
Pilgrim.
Yeah.
The first Thanksgiving.
Thanks for having the podcast, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you to Mario for coming on. Finally got him on.
We said we were going to talk about this. We should talk about this. Me and Graham and Mario shot a movie like 5 years ago that we're still working on.
Right.
Yeah. It's the coolest thing that we've ever done.
Yeah, it's great.
For sure, yeah. And we're still working on this, but be on the lookout for anything from that. You can look up the trailer.
If you go on YouTube or go on Facebook and search for The Third Son.
The Third Son, S-U-N, Son.
Yeah, Son, like the star.
Yeah, the Third Son. And you can look that up. And it's kind of like our baby.
And then
baby.
You can see what Mario looks like.
Yeah,
and
you can totally see.
You'll clearly understand why we say that he is my twin.
Francisco looks just like that.
Because they look exactly like that. Now you know, guys.
But yes, please look it up. You know, Labor of Love, Passion Project, you know, making a movie, really good friends.
It really was us making that fucking
movie.
Yeah,
it was just us.
Yeah, it really was.
I remember that fucking last day we shot and we were just like...
What was it, 17 hours
It was
or something?
Just us yes. at the end yeah, and we were like, God damn it, we're fucking crazy.
Yeah, and we never got each other's nerves. Except for me, I admit I did get a little... You're going to wipe that blood? Why is that blood on the door?
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, you're like, Mario, just tell me to wipe the blood off.
Yeah. You don't have to be a fucking smartass about that.
Antagonize me. Just tell me to wipe the blood
off. Also, the great stuff about that footage, every time we watch that footage, is I'm really fat in that footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Every time I'm like, I'm doing the clapper and shit.
You're the real Peter Jackson of our group.
Yeah. I was.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Well, no, because Peter Jackson went from fat to skinny.
Always skinny-ish. Peter Jackson never got fat again. He never got skinny.
He got pretty skinny.
He got skinny.
And he got, you know, got.
All right, sorry. Sorry to insult you, motherfucker.
No, you're insulting Peter Jackson, sir. Well, actually, I'm insulting you.
Yeah. You're no Peter Jackson, motherfucker. Make Lord of the Rings, then we'll talk.
Then we'll talk. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. And thank you again to Mario. And hey, if you're a casting director out there listening to this, have you enjoyed the sweet sounds of his delicious voice?
Hey, Pilgrim.
That's the kind of good, amazing voice that you can have in your dumb cartoon with no budget because they don't put budgets into those things anymore.
Seriously, man, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on. Next week, we'll be back with a movie. I don't know what it is. I haven't looked.
We will be doing another movie next week, yes.
We'll be doing another movie.
It won't be a Christmas movie. This is a Christmas movie.
80s? Is it 80s?
It's definitely 80s.
Well, yeah. It will definitely be an 80s movie.
But until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Mario Tenale.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
We love you.